It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Kia ora, Jamie Lee. How are you going today?
Good, thanks. Kelly, how are you?
I am good. I'm alive and well.
What do you make of this Calvin Davis calling an MP, a female MP, hysterical? Do you find that as offensive as I do, Kelly?
I'm not a fan of anybody being called hysterical, let alone a woman. You obviously are very offended.
Oh, well, Calvin Davis has apologised. Good on him for fronting up.
That's good on you. I'm excited that you've brought up a topic for us to talk about today. But well, I thought what we also would talk about is the Northcote by-election that's occurring.
Oh, yeah. Apparently that's happening on the weekend.
Tomorrow. Indeed.
Tomorrow, even.
So, what's going on? We've got Dan Bidois for you guys. Is that correct?
That's right. Dan's a good guy. He's a Harvard-educated economist. He's got a real interesting story. He dropped out of high school, did a butcher's apprenticeship, then realised that education was the pathway to success, enrolled in university. I think he was the AUSA student president at one point, actually. And then he got a scholarship to Harvard and did a master's degree there, worked overseas, and now he's come back and wants to do well and serve his country.
Good on him. And we've also got Shannon Halber from the Labour Party, I believe. So that is obviously all happening tomorrow. But it's quite an interesting by-election that's happening because it's kind of, Northcote's kind of known as a bellwether electorate, as they call it. It sort of reflects the public opinion about the party of the day, doesn't it?
It does. I've been doing a bit of door knocking out there, supporting Dan with a few other MPs and volunteers from around the region of Northcote. I think for us, the feeling on the ground is pretty good, but we're never going to take anything for granted. I think the voter turnout has been quite high, which has been interesting. That could just be the advanced voting, people taking notes that's available. More and more we're seeing advanced voting. I think it's good that people are taking part in the democratic process. I have to say it's unfortunate that we are having this by-election. None of us really wanted Jonathan Coleman to resign, but he made the decision that he did. And now it's an opportunity for the political parties to put forward some policy. I have to say, all those taxes, they're not proving to be very popular over there from what I'm hearing.
Well, Laura, actually, my producer Laura, is living in Northcote. So she better get to vote, and I'm looking at her right now. She hasn't voted yet, but she will.
Oh, well.
She'll get on
to
it
out there tomorrow. You've got till 7 o'clock tomorrow.
7 p.m. tomorrow?
Yeah, the polls close at 7 o'clock.
Nice long day. Well, everybody
lives in Northcote. Highbury Mall, Laura. Highbury Mall.
Highbury Mall, Laura.
You can vote in the warehouse.
Where else would you be on a Saturday except Highbury Mall?
I mean, working,
but... Well, exactly.
Anyway, we'll move on from that as well. We're talking a little bit about working groups. They've been in the media a little bit recently, obviously. National is saying that Labor is spending a lot of taxpayer money on creating working groups, and they've created heaps since they've been in government. What's National's issue with that?
Well, we've been saying this for months, and it seems the country's finally worked out that this is what Labor's doing. They're effectively contracting out all their policy making to working groups. The real concern here is just cost. We reckon there's about 122 of these working groups so far. That's our tally. Staff for Fairfax is a slightly lower tally, but the bottom line is there's literally dozens of these things. They're costing tens of millions of dollars. There are ministry officials there that are experts in certain fields to provide advice to the government. We just don't think that they should be contracting it out in the same way that they are. You know, Michael Cullen, for example, he costs $1,000 a day, and there's quite a number of these people doing this work. We just think the government should get on, come up with their own ideas, not farm out their jobs to working groups. And they've got great ministry officials there that can serve them well.
I guess
what issue does Labor have with the public service?
My question is, this is coming from somebody who isn't, you know, who doesn't know a lot about working groups. My view of working groups is that it gives a more, that, you know, that's their job essentially, is to go out and seek and research and get expert advice and really come to a well-rounded conclusion that isn't hastily made or maybe without a proper perspective. Is it not is it not better to put in that extra effort and work before maybe investing a lot of money into, you know, different initiatives or something like infrastructure or something like that later on in the piece than putting in that work at the start?
I think everyone can understand if you have a highly technical piece of work you want done that is going to take a long period of time and you want to collect outside advice, then you know, royal commissions are examples where governments elevate that, those types of issues to a royal commission. I think how they're wanting to do the work in the social sector, that's probably an example. They went to the election saying they were going to do some work on mental health. You know, they went to an election on that. But 122 of these things? Come on, that's getting a bit ridiculous. That's beyond a joke. They are getting all manner of issues put out to working groups, and it's just far too much. And whilst they say they don't have money for paying teachers more, they say they don't have money for keeping children's camps up and running, they are spending tens of millions on these working groups. So if they spent less on working groups, they could probably pay teachers more. If they spent less on working groups, they probably wouldn't have to break their promises around police numbers, for example. So that's our concern. You know, you have a government there. You're supposed to go into an election with a policy that you've tested and done the work on. Maybe they didn't do the work before the election, but they're farming a lot of it out to working groups. It's costing tens of millions, and they're not fulfilling their promises and obligations in other areas.
How many did National have last government?
Certainly not 122. There were a range of working groups. Every government does it, but at a small level and on a small scale. I think the problem we have here is the Labor Party didn't expect to be winning an election. They were unprepared. They didn't have the work done beforehand as they went into the election. And now they're effectively farming that out to working groups now and contracting out policy making, whereas they should be doing it themselves.
The review into meth contamination that's going on at the moment, would that have been prohibited? Would that have been stopped, that whole issue? Would that have even occurred if there had been a proper working group put in place beforehand?
Well, I think what you've got there is you have a professor who's actually part of the government. He's the Prime Minister's Chief Science Advisor, who was asked for an opinion, and he provided it. There was a standards working group that spent quite a bit of time going through and putting together standards. When standards are created, they ask for expert advice, and the standard was created based on the best information. There's now new information, and quite rightly, the minister's asked Health New Zealand to provide some advice on where they're going to go moving forward. Science is one of those things you take the best scientific advice you get from your departments, from your ministries. If new science comes along, then you're under an obligation to reassess it. And I wouldn't disagree that they're doing the wrong thing with meth right now. They're asking for advice as they should.
Certain working groups I've seen have been called for from the public. There's, you know, working groups like looking into mental health and looking into state abuse. Do you think that the government should be responding to these calls, or is that them being too, you know, looking too widely? Is this something that we shouldn't be putting money into? I'm curious as to know what National thinks of looking to the public and the working groups that they're asking for.
I think if you have something that's of a highly technical nature that's going to take months and months to work through, then seeking outside advice is fine and reasonable. But you should do it sparingly. You shouldn't do it wholesale like Labourers, where there's 122 working groups. You know, if there were 10, you could probably understand. But they've been in government for 6 months. Every couple of days, they're announcing new working groups. And it just doesn't seem right. And it's costing lots of money. And it means they're not able to spend money on the things like paying teachers more, which they said they would when they went into the election.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Jamie Lee. And we will chat to you again next week when we will know who had won the Northcote by-election. So very exciting stuff.
But Dan Benoit, he'll do a good job for you.
All right, chat to you next week.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.